Hey All Saints, good morning, good evening. My name's Lee, one of the ministers here at All Saints. And if you have known me for a little while, you know that I like to go surfing. You might also know that a bunch of people from All Saints go surfing together. But something else that's become kind of a ritual, part of our little surfing adventure, is getting porridge from a certain cafe afterwards. Some people would say that we're obsessed with porridge, and those people would be right. It's true, we love our porridge. I reckon over the years between us, we've had hundreds and hundreds of bowls of this porridge. And we still sit there and just enjoy every spoonful like it's our first. We look into each other's eyes, and we can see in each other's eyes that we haven't lost that love for the hot, delicious porridge. Naturally, because we love this porridge so much, we find ourselves talking about it a lot, and some would say we talk about it too much. But if you've ever tried it, then you'd understand. And so inevitably, because we have spoken about it so much, some friends of ours recently have joined us for the post-surf porridge. And so there was that moment where we were watching them, anticipating what they might think, watching them take their first spoonful, wanting to see the tears of joy well up in their eyes. How was it? Do you love it? How amazing is it? Well, like a dagger to our heart, someone said, "It's overrated." Another said, "It's got no flavor." And another said, "It's just gross." Have you ever had that experience where you love something so much, you've shared it with someone, and they've had the opposite reaction? They've hated it, and you just don't get it. You're baffled. Maybe you've introduced someone to a favorite book or sport or TV show. You've been so excited for them to see and taste what you see in it, and they just don't like it. Well, Jonah 4 feels a little bit like that. God has just shown the Ninevites extravagant grace, a whole city, 120,000 people, from the least to the greatest, have repented. They've been shown grace. God has relented from sending the destruction that he had threatened the city, that they deserved for their wickedness. And Jonah rejoices and shouts praises to God in verse 2. He quotes Exodus 34. "You are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." No, he doesn't. He doesn't rejoice. He doesn't praise God. He throws these words back in God's face. He's angry. He's furious that God has been gracious towards these evil Ninevites. He is so angry that he cannot bear to live in a world where God shows grace to people who are evil and sinful and unworthy. And at this point, I think most of us just shake our heads at Jonah. What a loser. How can Jonah so hate the grace that we so love? I mean, if all of North Epping heard about God's love and turned to him, turned to his forgiveness, never in a million years would we be angry about that. Well, that might be true, but I've seen myself in Jonah more than I'd like to admit. And that's what God's word does. It's like a mirror. It shows us what we're really like. And it's uncomfortable a lot of the time. We may not openly hate God's grace, but maybe we're not as comfortable with it as we think. God's grace can be difficult for us too. And so I want to explore today what makes God's grace so offensive. Firstly, it extends to those we despise. We find out finally why Jonah sailed in the opposite direction of Nineveh. Did he hate the Ninevites? Yes. Was he scared of them? Probably. Did he have good reason for this? Definitely. A brutally violent nation who had their sights set on destroying Jonah's people. And yet that's not the main reason Jonah fled. There was something he hated even more. He was running from something else. Did you ever wonder why Jonah didn't just stay put in Israel and say to God, "No, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm staying right here." It's because he wanted to get as far away from a God that would show compassion to such despicable people. What Jonah hated more than the Ninevites was a God who would show the wretched Ninevites grace. I wonder who it would be for you and me. Hitler and those like him throughout history come to mind. I think even today, even if we're not generationally connected to those who suffered under Hitler's regime, the thought that if he turned to Jesus, and that if he did, that all he'd done would be forgiven, sits uncomfortably. And he would be forgiven. And so I think, if I'm honest, deep down, I'm glad that history tells us he didn't repent. What if all the inmates in Australia's worst prison, the Supermax section of the Goulburn Correctional Centre, all turned to Jesus for forgiveness? The place that's sometimes called the human zoo, where serial rapists and murderers are imprisoned. You know, initially I thought I'd be okay with that, but when I looked into who was there and what they had done and how they are still behaving to this day, the thought that God would forgive them for everything, that Jesus would die for them, would bear their sin, that I could be sharing eternity with them, it actually got under my skin. If we got new reports that Hitler had turned to Jesus, if we found out that all the inmates in the Supermax had converted, I think like Jonah in verse 5, we'd watch skeptically, hoping it wasn't true. Maybe there are individuals in your life who have mistreated you, who you can't forgive for what they've done to you or someone close to you. And the idea that God would forgive them for everything riles you up. God's grace doesn't discriminate, and it's an idea we love and we flaunt unashamedly until it extends to the most wicked among us in this world. Well, secondly, grace isn't just extended to those we despise. That's difficult enough. But grace lumps us in with those we despise. It tells us we're just like them. While Jonah's raging, God graciously provides him a shady leafy plant. And Jonah, verse 6, delights in God's grace. He's happy. But when God provides a worm to take away his comfort and this shade, he loses it again. You know, he'd been waiting for God to reverse his grace towards Nineveh because they're evil. But instead, he reversed his grace towards Jonah, removing any doubt that Jonah was more worthy and deserving of God's favor, removing any doubt that God shared his racial hatred towards these Ninevites. The Bible tells us a hard truth that all have turned away from God. We have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. There is no difference between any of us, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. But surely we're more deserving than the worst of the worst. How can we be like them? We're not more deserving. No one is deserving of God's love for them in Jesus. We're all in the same boat. No one deserves or has earned God's forgiveness and mercy. And if we could, it wouldn't be grace. Grace tells us that if we obey for 1,000 years, We're no more accepted than when we first believed. Even our best moments in life don't merit God's favor, don't merit his grace. For people who are used to earning and deserving what we get in this life, this is tough to swallow. You know, study hard and you'll get the marks you deserve. You've earned this promotion, this bonus. This is my hard-earned money. I deserve a well-earned break. But grace goes against that. It cuts against that. It tells us we're as undeserving as the very worst. Helpless, corrupt, unworthy. We need Jesus' saving death as much as anyone else. And Jonah didn't want to live in a world where God declares, Jonah and Israel are just like the Ninevites. And that's the point of Jonah, to offend the self-righteous, to rebuke those who think they're better than others, to rid us of any hint of a thought that there's something in us that makes us more worthy. Why is grace so offensive? It extends to those we despise, which lumps us in with those we despise. And thirdly, it forces us to love those we despise. Jonah experienced God's grace, and when God saved him from drowning with the whale, and God's grace propelled him to Nineveh. But God's grace didn't propel him far enough. He could delight in God's grace for himself, but not for the Ninevites. He didn't share God's compassion for them. The book ends definitively concluding that the great evil city of Nineveh has a place in God's heart. Verse 11, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left? God's heart, God's compassion, God's love, God's mission is toward the unworthy. God has compassion for murderers, rapists, and child molesters as much as he does for you and me. He didn't die for those who are good enough because those people don't exist. We're more like Jonah than we'd like to admit. We're happy recipients of God's saving grace, the whale. We'll accept the comforts he gives us, the leafy plant. But we don't share God's heart for the lost, and so we don't go. Or we go to those we think are deserving, you know, who are like us. Or we may not despise a certain people group, but if our heart doesn't break and yearn for their salvation, if we're not showing grace to others, then we've forgotten the grace shown to us. Do we judge those who struggle with the things that we would never struggle with? Then we're like Jonah. Do we distance ourselves from certain people in our community? Then we're like Jonah. Are we embarrassed to associate with those who don't have good Christian morals like us? Then we're like Jonah. Well, finally, God's grace forces us to tell a new story about ourselves. Have you ever wondered who wrote Jonah? Well, no one knows, actually. But have you ever wondered how Jonah's story got told? Well, who was on the boat with Jonah and in the fish with Jonah and under the leafy plant with Jonah? Only God and Jonah. God could have divinely revealed this to the narrator, but more likely, Jonah told his story. But why would Jonah divulge all his shameful disobedience? Why would he tell of how he ran from God as God's prophet, how he prayed from within the fish with tones of self-righteousness, how he preached only 5 Hebrew words to the people God had sent him to, how he spat God's words back in his face, and how he tantrumed over his precious little plant? Why? Well, because that's where God's grace leads us. It forces sinners to tell the story of how undeserving they really are. Grace puts its hand on the boasting mouth and shuts it once for all. It's easy when we talk about ourselves to talk about our achievements and how busy we are and how the world would just crumble if it weren't for us. But those who have received God's grace have been given a new story to tell. A story of running from the one who loves us, of praying self-righteous prayers, of half-heartedly preaching the gospel, and of thinking we're better than others, more deserving than others. Maybe this is how Jonah wanted to be known in the end. How do you want to be known? What story will you tell? Will you hide or reveal your worst bits? Will you highlight your deeds, the good things you've done, or will you highlight God's grace by telling of the bad things you've done, the worst things you've done? You know you've embraced God's grace when you can sit in the company of the worst of sinners and say, I'm just like them. And when you can honestly say about yourself, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch like me. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress, helpless look to you for grace. Amen.